Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of John, chapter number 7.
John chapter 7. Jesus is at the feast, and we saw that he ran into a little opposition last time. Now we have the same feast, different day. It tells us in verse number 37, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." We'll stop there and ask God's blessing on his word. Father, we're grateful for this passage of scripture and the great truth that it provides to us as we consider just a few simple thoughts this evening. Father, may your Holy Spirit speak to us and use this to draw us closer to you. We'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to focus in on the one statement he made there in that verse, "If any man thirst." Of course, the answer to that question is, of course, all men thirst for something. And we have many common thirsts that many men and women, using men in a generic way, thirst after. And what Jesus is trying to tell us here, when he says, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." What Jesus is saying is he is sufficient. And this verse is all about the sufficiency of Christ, that he is the answer to the desire of every heart, of every man, woman, and child this world has ever known. And so I'd just like to, as I said, consider just for a moment this evening, if any man thirst. I believe one thing that men thirst after is truth. Everyone's looking for what is real and what isn't, especially in our very commercial society where things are advertised and you wonder, is that or does that really do what it says or claims to do? Is that really as good as it sounds? Or is it too good to be true? And of course, we know the saying of it, seems to be too good to be true. It probably is. And so we're searching after truth in that area, but we also want to know the truth of our origins. Where did we come from? Now, that's not a problem for you or I because we have sought it in Christ and found it. We know it's recorded for us in the first few chapters of the book of Genesis. But nevertheless, the world is searching after the truth of where we came from, and different ideas and theories are being thrown out there, all of them apart from truth. But man is searching for truth. What did Jesus say in John chapter 14, verse number 6? "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And so Jesus not only leads us to the truth and helps us to find the truth, he is the truth. There is nothing false about him. There is nothing that even shadows a lie in his life or in his words. He is one that we can absolutely trust 100% of the time. I think the most amazing way that it has ever been put to me was by a fellow, and I've told you about him before. I've told you this because it just made an impact on me on how he said it and what it meant to him, about a man who is a drug addict that had actually overdosed and was taken to the hospital and died. And he was dead for a while, and they revived him. And a lot of issues because of all this that had gone and some other things in his life that I'm not even going to get into. But he had difficulty because of his past grasping what was real and what wasn't. And I remember the day, and I can picture it in my mind just like it happened just a moment ago, tapping his closed Bible on the cover and saying, "I have trouble determining what's truth, but I know that this is truth." The Word of God that Jesus leads to, he is the living Word. This is the written Word. You cannot separate the two. Man today is searching after truth, and we have the truth. We have the answers they're looking for right here in this book. There is nothing false. There is nothing wrong. There are no errors. There are no discrepancies. There are no contradictions in the very Word of God. I understand that there are in some of these new books that resemble the Bible that are called Bibles, But in the pure Word of God, there are no errors, no contradictions. Man thirsts after truth, and Jesus says, come unto me, and you'll find the truth. A second thing that man searches after is a thirst after purpose in life. They ask the question, why am I here? What am I doing here? What is my purpose in life? And so many of our young people are struggling with that and seeing no purpose, no reason for their existence. And so to them, life becomes cheap. If they become pregnant, they kill the baby in the womb because life is cheap. If they have troubles that they just don't see any way out, they then take their own life because to them, life is cheap. There is no purpose. There is no reason. It's all by chance. And we're just another animal living on the surface of this earth as a scourge and as a disease on this planet that it cannot sustain. And so I'll be much better off, the reasoning goes in their minds, to just snuff out my life and no longer exist. All of this because they're searching for purpose. Searching for purpose. Jesus has a purpose for our lives, doesn't he? And if they just come to Christ and take him as their Savior, they'd realize that their life is precious and all life is precious and all life has purpose, and that purpose to bring glory to God, and that he uses us for different reasons and different places of ministry. I'm just a perfect example in a track report to a tow truck driver. That's purpose. Who knows, but that guy never heard the gospel before, and who knows, but that might be his only chance. We just don't know, but God knows. And he puts us in places for specific reasons in order to get out the good news of the gospel that Jesus died for their sins and they can have eternal life. We have purpose as we find our place in the local church to do the things that God has called us to do with our life. But the world has no clue. Because they're searching for a purpose other than this. And so, as they search, they never find satisfaction. They never find what they're looking for. And they realize there must be more. There must be something I'm missing. And you know what? They're 100% right. There is something they're missing, and there is something more. And that more is Jesus Christ, who said, if any man thirsts, let him come unto me and drink. Perhaps I should have read the next couple of verses, because he talks about out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water, abundance. Jesus not only gives us truth, but he gives us an abundance of truth. He not only gives us purpose, but he gives us an abundance of purpose. And so he will satisfy and he will fulfill and he will give us that for which we thirst and satisfy that thirst. The world today not only is searching for truth, not only searching for purpose, but they're also searching for joy, for joy. They're trying to find it at the end of a cigarette or a joint. They're trying to find it in the bottom of a bottle of booze. They're trying to find it through killing themselves in work. They're looking for that answer. They're looking for it in money. They think money will bring joy. And the problem is they don't understand joy. They don't even know what joy is. They think joy is nothing more than happiness. And they may enjoy some happiness from time to time. It's in virtually every life. And praise God for those moments. And they think that's what they're searching after, are those moments of happiness when Jesus is offering us joy. That's what God promises to give to us, is joy. Where we can have a rejoiceful heart, no matter the circumstances, no matter the situations. But the world is looking in all the wrong places because they don't want to receive a Savior who's in heaven above, who loves them and died for them and promises them eternal life. But if they'll just bow the knee and confess with the mouth that Jesus Christ is in fact Lord, and give their life to him, they'll experience the joy that God will give us as we have a right relationship with him. You see, that's why money can't satisfy. That's why booze and drugs can't satisfy. That's why all the things the world offers can't satisfy. is because it never brings a right relationship with God. And apart from a right relationship with God, there is no joy of any kind. There might be happiness, but happiness is fleeting and will always pass away. And that's not going to satisfy. But Jesus says, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He says, I'll satisfy that thirst after joy. I'll fulfill that longing in your heart, that desire, that craving of your soul, but it's only through him. A fourth area that the world is thirsting after is salvation. We think that people are not religious, and that's just the furthest thing from the truth today. Now, they may not worship a God as we understand God, but people are religious. Even the atheist is religious. His belief system is built on faith that a God does not exist. And in it, he is hoping to find his concept of salvation or his concept of heaven and an avoidance of his concept of hell. Now, his concept of heaven is just to cease existence, to no longer have any thought processes, to just turn into dust. It's not much of a hope, is it? But that's what they cling to. It's a religion. Of course, there's many religions out there in the world, from Hinduism to Buddhism to Islam. None of them offer salvation, because all of them are searching for it outside of Jesus Christ. What does the Bible say in Acts chapter 4, verse number 12? Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So people can be as religious as they want, and it's not going to do them a bit of good. It's not a religion, it's a relationship. Seems like that's on someone's shirt this evening, doesn't it? If you haven't noticed, read Cindy's shirt after the service. It's exactly what it says. But see, the world is trying to find salvation through religion. If I do this enough, and I do that enough, and I avoid this or that or the other thing, then I'm okay and I'll get to heaven. You see, that's what Islam is all about. They've got five pillars. And if they fulfill those five pillars, they're assured of heaven. I mentioned a few weeks ago, but I think I did anyway, these two teenagers, trying to remember where they were. It wasn't here in the States. But they were going to go, I think it was somewhere in Europe, they were going to go shoot up their school, all the Christians they could find, because, and they had no remorse. And what they told the authorities as they committed their intentions, they said, if we kill Christians, God will take us directly to paradise. That's on their list of salvation requirements. Killing Christians. Now, we know what God requires that, don't we? It's not the God in heaven, like they think, but religion. The world today thinks religion will bring salvation. A list of do's and don'ts, and you can check your progress and see how you're doing. And it sounds so nice and logical to the minds of man. And yet, as we compare it to the Word of God, it lacks grace entirely. It lacks truth entirely. It lacks satisfaction entirely. Even those that are under the branch of Christianity, as they do what their church has told them to do, realize that deep down, they just don't know for sure. If you don't believe that, just ask people. Are you going to heaven? Are you 100% confident, as sure as you're standing there, that you'll be in heaven one day? 99% of the time, your response will be, I hope so. And what they're admitting is, my religion doesn't get the job done. My religion does not satisfy. I've come to this religious cup and drunk deeply, and I found it lacking. But Jesus said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink, because Jesus fully satisfies in the area of salvation, doesn't he? Only his blood is sufficient, and only his grace will provide salvation. Only the gift through him will bring about salvation. It's a relationship with Him, not a religion of things we must do and things we must not do. It's just that simple. And so the world goes along fretting about where they'll spend an eternity if they believe in life after death. So many today have chosen to reject that. They put their faith in nothing. And they'll get exactly that, nothing from God. A fifth thing that the world is thirsting for is they're thirsting after peace. We've got this war going on in Ukraine, unless you're Russian, you got a little, I forget what they call it. It's not, they can't call it a war up there. But you've got a lack of peace there. You've got what's going on in Israel right now, and who knows how big that thing will get. And that could very well be the start of World War III. We don't know. I'm not concerned about nuclear weapons being used. Why aren't I concerned? It's nowhere in here. Surely something that cataclysmic would be recorded in the Word of God as far as the end times prophecies are concerned. But it's nowhere in there. Some people will point to, and I've heard it done, point to the elements melting. Yeah, the Bible says that, but that doesn't happen until after the millennial kingdom. And the only thing that happens after that is eternity future. And so that's not a nuclear bomb. That's the Lord Jesus Christ just simply changing things out, replacing this old, worn-down earth and heavens for a new heaven and earth. So I'm not concerned about that, though many are, and we certainly don't have peace in our time. Peace among men, but peace in our own hearts, individual peace. People lack that. We're so stressed out over so many things. There really is a big difference. If any of you ever lived out in the country, it's a whole different way of life. Trust me on that. And a lot of stress as people rush to and fro and everybody's getting in their way and honking on their horns to get out of my way, let me through. I just decided the way I deal with it, I'm just not going to be in a hurry anywhere I go. I may have an appointment in a certain time, but if I don't get there on time, I don't care. What are they going to do about it? You know, they cancel my appointment, I can always make another one. It's just that simple. It's just not that important to get upset over as far as I'm concerned. But peace. The world is searching after peace. But we know there is no peace without God. There is no peace without Christ as our Savior. No peace with God and no peace with our fellow man. I've read that what the writers of our television shows and the movies that are watched and produced and anywhere, if it's going to be a good movie, it's going to have conflict. And you ask yourself, why do I bring people that are going to do nothing but fight into my living room? Does that make me feel good? I mean, think about it. But that's the way of the world. They want peace. Now, that doesn't mean I don't enjoy those shows too, just like you do. But sometimes we get so wrapped up, we sacrifice our peace over what's supposed to be entertainment. That's kind of the way I view, I shouldn't say this, you're all going to hate me if I do, but now I got to say it because I said that. That's the way I view pets. If my pet ceases to be a pet, well, then it's no longer a pet and I got to get rid of it. If it pleases me, it remains a pet. And anyway, like I say, you're going to hate me for those comments, especially you pet lovers. We had a lady in a church. She's with the Lord now. But I made a comment that pets won't be in heaven. She called me right out. It was a Sunday school lesson and said, yes, they will. I know my dogs are there right now. And boy, she cornered me on that one several times. And so I tried to be careful what I said about pets. But anyway, we're talking about peace, not pets. And so we thirst after peace as mankind. No one wants to be at conflict. No one wants to have the stress in our lives. We want to be able to relax. We want to be able to enjoy life. And guess what isn't the answer? Yoga is not the answer. Did you know yoga is nothing but Hinduism and Buddhism? All that Far Eastern religion. Did you know our Native Americans practiced a very similar practice to yoga. And you know what their purpose is? To invite a spirit guide. Now, do you have enough understanding to know what a spirit guide is? It's a demon, a devil. And that's what they do. And that's what yoga is all about. Clear your mind out and let the demon come in. Find that spirit guide. Some of them are bold enough in yoga to say it. And guess what's in every public school? Guess what's in every workplace that is trying to deal with anger issues? Yoga in every last one. It's a religion. And it's a demonism is what it is. And yet it's approved and propagated by our government. But wait a minute, isn't there supposed to be a separation of religion and government? You can't have the Bible in the schools. So let's bring the devils in through yoga and other ways, of course. But they're searching after peace, and yoga is not going to give it. Those demons don't look out for the good of the one that they possess. Because that one they possess reminds them of God. We're made in His image and in His likeness. And they want to destroy with a mad fury anything that resembles or reminds them of God the Father. And so they're out to do nothing more than to destroy the individual they possess. They can't come in without invitation, but yoga says, come on in. The room's open. And so it's a travesty. As the world searches for peace, they're just not going to find it. Just not going to find it. Not going to find it through the government. And we look to our government to provide peace, to solve all our social ills. They can't provide that, and we know that. The answer is only found here in John 7:37. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Jesus is the answer to every thirst, every desire that any man, woman, or child has ever had in this life. What do you search after? What do you thirst for? Jesus is your answer. Father, we thank you for your word. Help us to have these strong desires that you describe as thirst. And Father, may we fulfill them always in your Son, Jesus Christ, who we have faith will fully satisfy. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.